Let's pray together. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with your commandments and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight about joy, and specifically how disciples are called to have joy. The celebration that we are partaking of, Sukkot, is also known as Zman Simchateno, the season of our joy. Say that with me, the season of our joy. It's not just the season of my joy, but your joy too. You see, God has not just called me to have joy, but you to have joy. Now, some personality types find it difficult to be happy and to embrace joy. If you find that's your personality, let me tell you something, you can be born again. And when you're born again, you're not limited to operate in your personality type. God gave you a personality. He wants to use it, but he doesn't want it to be the limit of who you are and how you operate, because you may find it easier to see things that are wrong or about to go wrong. And God wants you to not only see that, he wants you to see the good things that are happening, the victories that are happening, other people's victories and joys, so that you can rejoice with them. Do you know if you're having a hard time, you should find people who aren't, so you can hang out with them? If you're in a tough situation, find some people who have had a breakthrough in their life. If you have been waiting for a year to get your job, find someone who waited 2 years and now has a job, and let them encourage you. It turns out, if you only hang out with people who are depressed, you'll become depressed too. If you only hang out with people who are sure that life should be spent miserable and complaining, you will become a miserable complainer. And so it's necessary to embrace joy. The patterns of the holidays that we are celebrating in this time of year establish our way of thinking and behaving for the whole year. You know, as well, they join together with Shabbat, which teaches us take rest. Take rest. Do you know why you need to take rest? Because you need rest. Every one of us has a requirement to stop on a weekly basis and turn our attention to God. Not so that we can just relax, watch our favorite football team or sport, eat as much food as we can, sleep as much as we can. It's not just for the purpose of leisure, and it's not that leisure will refresh you all by itself. You need to be in the presence of God to take time off and to find rest with him. Well, those who are called to be disciples of Yeshua are called to embrace joy. Now, we're also called to be serious, but we should not be deadly serious. We should not be so serious that we don't have joy. We should not be so serious that we can't laugh at the things that are going on in the world. How many of you are familiar with the Psalms? Anybody here ever read the Psalms? You know, the Psalms early on tell us that the nations are raging. Did you know that? They're enraged. And yet the Lord laughs at some of the foolishness of the nations. How can it be when the nations are all stirred up that God can laugh? It's because he sees the beginning and the end. He's not caught in the middle. He's not stuck with the current situation. You and I need to understand that joy is more than an attitude. It's a way of life. When you can embrace what God is doing in your life, and you can welcome his presence in every kind of situation, he'll turn your situations into something that are better. Joy also is a perspective. It's a perspective that includes hope and positive expectation. Now, how do you have hope? How do you have a positive expectation when everything around you is unstable and difficult? The answer is you look to God. You fix your eyes on him, because when you look to him, you'll see things from his perspective. Just paying attention to God will cause God to pay attention to you and to speak some things to you that you can use. The apostles understood something, that Yeshua wasn't miserable all of his life. He was a man who was acquainted with sorrows and other people's sufferings, but he was also filled with joy. And they wrote that it was for the joy that was set before Yeshua that he endured that crucifixion on the cross. He maybe could have gotten out of it if he didn't understand the purposes, but he understood. He gave himself freely. How could he embrace such suffering for himself? It's because he knew that wasn't the end. Though he suffered, the suffering came to an end. He died. He did die. But he rose from the dead, and when he rose from the dead, he had a victory on our behalf. And he demonstrated to us that God is the God of resurrection life. That when it looks like things are over, that's often when they're just beginning. And often when you bury things that look like they are dead, that's when they rise back up. When you plant the seed, it goes into the ground and it dies, and then it comes back up and it brings forth its fruit, resurrection life. We're celebrating Sukkot. We are supposed to remember that all of the children of Israel lived in shacks. Shacks. That's what we lived in. And God wants us to not forget it. So you might have come from modest background, but very few of us who live in America have actually lived in shacks. Very few of us have lived in circumstances where there's not only no running water, there's no water. And where we have no steady supply of food, and there's no business, and there's no money to operate with, and yet the children of Israel lived under those circumstances, and God provided for us. And we're to remember that he was with us even through all of that. Now, I want to focus on two simple passages. One is from the book of Romans, the letter that Paul wrote to the Romans, trying to explain life from a Jewish perspective. You know, Italians are wonderful. Without Italians, we would not have pizza. Pasta. Or as my Italian friends in Rochester, New York, would call all pasta macaroni. How many of you are from such an Italian family? You know macaroni. Okay. They called sauce gravy. I don't understand it, but we'd have macaroni and gravy, and it looked like spaghetti and tomato sauce to me. Paul's writing to them. Let's look at Romans chapter 14, just one verse, verse 17. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. That's good to know. Italians need to know that, and Jews need to know this. Because Jews and Italians have something in common. We like to eat and drink. Okay, the kingdom of God is not a matter of what you eat or what you drink, but it is righteousness, and it is peace, and it is joy in the Holy Spirit. If you want to discover the kingdom of God, you have to look in three specific directions: in the direction of righteousness, in the direction of peace, and in the direction of joy. And every time you're looking, you have to see what the Holy Spirit is doing. Because it's righteousness in the Holy Spirit. It's peace in the Holy Spirit. It's joy in the Holy Spirit. So it's not just the abstract concepts. It's the work and the presence of the Holy Spirit who brings to us righteousness. And in Hebrew, righteousness, tzedakah, is not just right standing with God. It is also justice on behalf of others. It's not just justice, it's also charity. It's giving to the needy. So righteousness in God, according to a Jewish understanding, is not just about how we are perceived, but how we perceive the world around us and how we work and live in this world. So we embrace charity, we embrace generosity, we embrace justice on behalf of the oppressed, the needy, the widow, the orphan, the immigrant. Peace. The kingdom of God is also a matter of peace. You and I are called to live in peace. You know, believers in America are so certain that we'll have no real peace in this world until Yeshua comes that sometimes I think believers don't even believe in peace. It's hard to get believers sometimes to pray for the peace of Jerusalem because so many people think it's just going to be broken into pieces. They can't see that God wants us to pray for peace, for its wholeness, for its well-being. And the same with joy. Sometimes I've noticed that people who are serious about the kingdom of God can see things, but they end up seeing the darkness in the world around them and they lose the picture of joy. And they forget how important joy is. You and I need to live with joy. We need to have an expectation of joy. And it's not being Pollyannish. I'm not talking about ignoring the hard things. I'm talking about seeing through the hard things and understanding that God has a victory in mind. You see, if you only focus on the death of Yeshua, you don't have the good news. Unless you include his resurrection and all the things associated with that, you don't have the good news. You have a peace that may be true, but it is not everything. If he didn't rise from the dead, we ought to be pitied, those of us who believe in him. But he did. Joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, some people would say, you know, I don't like all this emotional stuff. Well, that's a problem. I'll tell you what the problem is. You and I are called to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, which includes the emotions, isn't it? Isn't that true? And so God knows that we've got to love him first with our heart, and I think he emphasizes that so that we don't neglect it and we don't get trapped in this idea it's not emotional. It touches our heart. Loving God and serving God is emotional, but it's not only emotional, it's also intelligent. It's also smart. It's wise to love God. Well, let's go to the other passage, Nehemiah chapter 8. I like this book, Nehemiah, because it describes revival and restoration for the children of Israel. They had been in captivity and now they're brought back. And because our time is short, we're just going to look at a little bit in verse 2, Nehemiah 8, verse 2. It tells us that they gathered together on the first day of the seventh month. What Jewish holiday would that be for? Rosh Hashanah. Okay, and then it also mentions the 10th day of the seventh month. What holiday is that? Yom Kippur, that's right, the Day of Atonement. And then it mentions the 15th day of the seventh month. What holiday would that mark the beginning of? Sukkot, that's right. So you see, what happens is the children of Israel gather together and they start listening to the Torah being read. And they spend a lot of days listening to the Torah and something happens to them. They start giving attention. And look at verse 14. It says, they found written in the Torah, which the Lord had commanded through Moses, that the Israelites were to live in Sukkot, in booths, during the feast of the seventh month, and they should proclaim this word and spread it throughout their towns and in Jerusalem. Here's the word. Go out into the hill country, bring back branches from olive and wild olive trees, from myrtles, from palms and shade trees, and make Sukkot, as it is written. Make booths, as it is written. Then verse 16, and so the people went out. And they brought back branches and they built themselves booths. Look where they built them. On their own roofs, in their courtyards, in the courts of the house of God, in the square by the water gate, and the one by the gate of Ephraim. The whole company, verse 17 says, that had returned from exile, built Sukkot, booths, and lived in them. And from the days of Joshua, son of Nun, until that day, the Israelites had not celebrated it like this, and their joy was what? Very great. Not a little joy, a lot of joy. They were so happy, not just to be in the land, but to have the Word of God and to be free to respond to the Word of God. They were in the land, but they were returning to God, not just the land. And they were allowing God's Word to revive them by directing them. And so they heard, we should live in Sukkot. So they said, let's live in Sukkot. And let's tell everyone. They sent out the word, let's live in Sukkot, and they did it. Everyone who returned from the exile, it says. Okay, now remember, here they are. They're back in the land of Israel. It's not so easy. And what are they doing? They're building huts, booths, shacks, shanties. Call it what you will. And they were so happy. Day after day, verse 18, from the first day to the last, Ezra read from HaSefer Torah, the Torah scroll of God. They celebrated the Feast of Sukkot for 7 days, and on the eighth day, Shemini Atzeret, the eighth day, in accordance with the regulation, there was an assembly. You see, they finished Sukkot, and then they kept going. So you have the conclusion, the eighth day, and then you have after that Simchat Torah. You have the rejoicing in Torah. How many of you have a digital device you can search Google right now? Okay. I want you to search for Simchat Torah on Google. I don't know if it'll work on the other search engines. Simchat Torah. Now, I tried to use Google Voice tonight to do this, and I said Simchat Torah, and it came up with something completely different that had no relationship. I had to type it in. I had to actually put in Simchat Torah 2012, and then something really interesting pops up, and it's the date. What pops up is that Simchat Torah starts on what day? It says Simchat Torah 2012 begins in the evening of Monday, October 8th, and it ends in the evening of Tuesday, October 9th. I like it that Google has finally figured out how Jewish holidays happen. And it pops up. How many of you have gotten there already? You can see it. And is it big on the screen? Yeah, it's sort of prominent the way the answer comes. How many of you have a prominent Google response on yours? Just Eric? Over here, yeah, just a few of you. We're going to try to get it up on the screen tonight. Those of you who are listening by podcast, you can try it too, even though you're doing it later. Oh, man, that looks small. You do it on the iPhone, it just fills the screen, and it tells you the time and the date so that you can celebrate. Now, Simchat Torah so begins Monday evening. Now, as a congregation, what we're going to do, we'll honor that. I encourage you to honor Shemini Atzeret, the eighth day, and to honor Simchat Torah. And then on Saturday next week, we're going to have a special gathering where we will read from Torah. We will read the conclusion of Torah, and then we will read the beginning in Genesis Bereshit. And we will also have a tremendous opportunity where every person, adult and child, who wants to participate in carrying a Torah scroll or the Haftorah scroll through the synagogue will have the opportunity. Everyone, from the small ones to the great ones, will be able to do that. I encourage you to come and to participate. There is a joy that comes into your heart when you have a hand in this, when you participate in this. And I want to ask you to join with us for this special event. You see, the children of Israel came back from captivity, and the Torah gave them guidance how to live. What holiday should we celebrate? They read in Torah what they should do. Well, how do you celebrate them? They read in Torah, and then they started doing what they read. And as they were doing this, they had joy. You see, the joy is not in knowing about it. The joy is knowing and doing. If you don't know and you don't do, you miss out on the joy. Yeshua said he gave us his commands so that our joy would be complete. His joy is made complete too as we respond to him with obedience. But his goal is not just that he would have joy, but that we would have joy. So if there's someone sitting nearby, say, Yeshua wants you to have joy. He wants you to have joy. He wants you to live with joy and to have the joy that he has. You know, there are times when you have to work to cultivate joy. There are times when you have to work to take care of the joy that you have. And there are actually hard times. Talked to a friend today. He's going through some hard times. Relationship broke up. It was serious for him. And he's sad, and he needs to be sad for a little while, but not forever. And he has to move through the sadness into his future. Because if he gets stuck in the sadness, he'll be stuck in the past, the things that aren't planned for his future, the things that he recognized are not ahead for him. But sometimes you have to mourn those moments. You have to mourn those times when things come to an end. Isn't that true? And then you have to move through the pain and the sorrow and then move into the future that God has for you. And he has a future of good. He has a future of hope. He's the God of hope. He's the God of the living. He has a kingdom where he rules. There is righteousness and peace and joy. You can eat all the corned beef you want. It might make you happy, but it won't give you real joy. You can eat at every Jewish delicatessen you can find. You can eat at your grandmother's. And it may do something good for you, but it won't change your life the way the kingdom of God will change your life. Until you come under the authority of God, you'll never experience the joy that can touch every part of your life. This is the season of our joy. We need joy. And you know what? You need enough joy that you can live with it and you can share it with other people. If your joy is so tentative and so insecure that you're afraid to try to give it to someone else, then you don't have enough. So what should you do? Find someone who's got more than you have. Ask them to bless you. Ask them to encourage you. Can you do that? Yeah? Yeah. Who cares, Rabbi? Who cares? You know, I'm happy being miserable. Well, there are many kingdoms you can live in where you can be miserable forever, but the kingdom of God is not meant for your misery. The kingdom of God has a different quality about it. It has good news for everyone in misery. If you want to stay in misery, you don't need good news, you need more bad news. Just watch TV, you'll be fine. But if you want to come out of the difficult situations that life throws at you and tries to control you through, then you need the kingdom of God. The authority and the goodness, the love, the mercy, the compassion of God, because he has good news. If you got sickness, he's got good news for you. He will be with you. If you're in mourning, he'll be with you. If you've fallen, he'll lift you up. He'll help you get back up. But it's a choice that you make to be part of his kingdom, which includes joy. That's what I want to say. I can say it over and over again. I'm finished. It's now you. You tell someone who you don't even know in the room. Okay, we're going to conclude this way. I'm going to give you an assignment. I haven't done this before. But it'll make me happy even if it makes you uncomfortable. I want you to spot someone in the room you don't even know and just tell them that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's not too hard to remember. Someone you don't even know. Okay, so stand up because it's going to take this. Move around a little bit. Find someone and just say those simple words. The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you're only talking to people you already know, you haven't finished. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That wasn't so bad, was it? Now, when you go home, find someone who needs more joy, even if you have to go to the bathroom and look in the mirror. Size that person up and say, how is she? How is he? Speak to them about the kingdom of God. Let's close. Amen. You can stand up. Thank you. Come on up. Yivarechecha Adonai, v'yishmarecha. Ye'er Adonai panavelecha v'yichunecha, yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasemlecha shalom. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep watch over you and protect you. May the Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his face to you and give you shalom in the name of Yeshua. Amen.
Amen.
Shabbat shalom, Chag Sameach.